Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. Miss y'all, Rodney, with Will.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about the collapse of Mixer and the ban of Dr. Disrespect. So that'll be a hot topic today. We're going to talk about Halo Infinite dropped another trailer. Sort of. Like, they should stop teasing it and just show us the goddamn game already. But,
They're gonna mess with our heads the most as much as they can.
Well, I did find out one really good tidbit of information, which we'll get to later in the podcast. But the rest of it, it's all coming up right now, right now, right now, right now. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Dr. Disrespect getting banned from Twitch. So, I got an article pulled up here. So we're going to probably change some things up here. We're kind of running out of gaming words, I'm not going to lie.
So yeah, we're going to think up a couple different things coming forward.
So for now, we're going to do a gaming release of the week instead. So what do we got, Will?
Well, we actually got two that I think people might be interested this week. Definitely for the PlayStation VR people, we have Marvel's Iron Man. And coming to the Switch, finally, we have Catherine Fullbody.
I don't think I've played either of those games.
Catherine Fullbody is like a JRPG anime-style game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I remember now.
Yeah, and Iron Man is literally just coming out now, but I'm sure you remember seeing it a couple years ago when it was unveiled at E3. It's literally for their VR system.
Yeah, I was just going to say VR.
Yeah. Looks amazing, but I don't have the money to buy VR right now, so.
Yeah. Okay.
But those are your two releases this week.
Groovy. And what are those? Those are on PlayStation for Iron Man and Catherine's on Switch. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm literally excited for Paper Mario to come out, Origami King.
Yeah, that is coming out end of the month?
July 17th.
Yeah, 17th.
Yeah.
The same day as Ghost of Tsushima, so you and I are going to be playing two different games.
Yeah.
But actually, that'll be a good podcast then.
It'll be sweet.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Twitch and why it sucks, basically. So I'm on Forbes.com.
Yep.
Why was Dr. Disrespect banned on Twitch? Everything known so far.
Nothing.
Yeah. Perhaps one of the biggest moments in streaming history and currently the internet's greatest mystery. Yesterday, Dr. Disrespect, yesterday being January, what is this, June 28th, Dr. Disrespect was banned on Twitch apparently for good. No specific reason has been publicly stated. A small circle of those who apparently do not know what's going on are talking, but everything we see seems to be pointing to a troubled direction. There's a lot to go through, apparently. Mm-hmm. So what we have that's official is just a vague statement from Twitch. It says, As is our process, we're taking appropriate action when we have evidence that a streamer has acted in violation of our community guidelines or terms of service. These apply to all streamers, regardless of status or preeminence in the community. That's it. So we don't know what he did, but I mean, Dr. Disrespect does say some interesting things sometimes.
Yeah, but he has only been banned once, and that was when he took a camera into the bathroom during TwitchCon.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's very controversial, yes, but not to the point that he does things that gets himself banned from Twitch.
Yeah.
The bathroom thing was stupid. I don't think he was thinking about that, but...
No. He's probably doing it just to be entertaining and didn't, yeah.
Yeah. And think about it, like, they banned him for 2 weeks. When he came back, like, everyone was watching him.
Yeah. Dr. Disrespect came on Twitter, and he said that he's still awaiting to hear the reason for the ban from Twitch as well, so...
Yeah. It's kind of... I went back, and I'm not sure if you have, but his last stream, you could tell he knew.
Yeah.
It ends so awkward. Like, he looks off screen like he's reading an email or some sort of letter.
Yeah.
And then he comes, like, he looks back at the people and he's, like, telling, like, his team, which he calls the Champions Club.
Yep.
That they're in for rough times ahead, but they'll make it through.
And, yeah, and then he ends, you know, abruptly. He says, like, fuck! And then
yeah, and then he just completely cuts his stream. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, he's very controversial, sure. But no one really knows what he could have done to deserve his permanent ban.
Well,
if that is what it is.
Yeah, well, in this article, it's going on about accusations of sexual harassment and abuse. Not just with Dr. Disrespect, but with a bunch of streamers. And apparently... Well,
they're going back and getting people that even have accusations against themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not getting too much into that, but... yeah, we have a very strong, we have a very male-oriented streamer club, essentially. Like, it's a majority of streamers are males. I saw, there's one, I can't remember what her name is, I'll look it up right now, but there's a girl who streams, and I've watched a couple of her YouTube videos, and fuck, she's funny. She was playing Search and Destroy. And it was 1v4, and she fucking wiped the whole team. And then basically, this one guy's like, oh, 1v1 me, bro. And she's like, why do I need to 1v1 you? I just 1v4'd you. that was
probably
funny.
Shut him up.
Yeah.
And I will say it over and over again. Gamer girls can be better than guys.
Well...
I found that out the hard way when I went against Ubisoft's gamer team.
Well, it also helps that you're a chick and you're hot and you're playing games. Like, that fucking builds followers.
It is, but, you know, some of these, the girl streamers, they don't even have to be hot. They just know how to play a game.
Cruzadar, that's her name.
Cruzadar. Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Where is she? Why doesn't it tell me how many subscribers she has? But it's like, oh, she has... Fuck. She has almost 1 million. So. But yeah, no. You can tell when women know how to play the fucking game. Like, mm-hmm. They wear, like, super revealing shirts, and they're like, oh, I wonder why they have 1,000 live viewers right now.
But see, now they have to be careful for that, because Twitch is banning people for that.
Yeah.
Too much skin. I remember there's a girl, she does cosplay, and she teaches people how to do, like, the makeup for the outfits.
Yeah.
And she was banned earlier this year. I can't remember what it was. I think it was her skirt was too short, and she showed too much skin.
Christ, what is this, high school? Fuck.
Yeah. It wasn't a permanent ban. She had, like, you know, like, the normal 30-day, but still, like... They have really gone to the point now that it's hard to be a content streamer on Twitch unless you're very careful about what you do.
And the thing about Twitch is it's extremely hard to grow on Twitch, which is one of the reasons that turned me off from even streaming on Twitch. Now Mixer is getting shut down.
Yeah, that one came to a bit of a shock for myself, mainly because of they were just starting to get, like, they had the big names like Ninja, Shroud, and stuff like that.
You know what? I haven't been following Ninja, but I feel like I haven't heard his name a whole lot in the last, like, little bit.
Mixer kind of made, not irrelevant, but because he was, a lot of people still watched him on Mixer, right? But I think he was bigger on Twitch.
Yeah, and see, you know, I'm, if Dr. Disrespect, if this is a permanent ban, you know, where does he go? Does he go to YouTube? He has a pretty big following on his YouTube channel, so I wonder if he just went to YouTube Gaming. That would make kind of more sense.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I was listening or watching a video with Courage, JD, Lachlan, and I can't remember the other, I think it was Nate, and they were discussing, because they're a Dr. Disrespect friend,
yeah.
Friends, right? And they play with him all the time, and they haven't heard the reason yet either, but they said from what they've heard, it was a permanent ban. Mm-hmm. Doc hasn't said, no one really knows the reason for it. But they said this is huge. This isn't just a normal band. Dr. Disrespect is a worldwide icon.
Yeah.
Like, Twitch just signed him in March to another multi-million, multi-year deal. Exclusive for them. Now that they go here and ban him, like,
yeah,
it has to be bad.
So I wonder if they have to pay out the rest of his contract.
I think they do.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it's literally like an NFL contract. They are now releasing him, right? But
they got to pay the penalty, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... and you know, he had 4.5 million followers on Twitch. Like, that's an astounding amount, too.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing I have with YouTube Gaming. It's hard for people to discover you. If you're subscribed to your channel... If you're streaming and people are subscribed to your channel, like, they're going to see that you're live. But for new people who are not subscribed to your channel, you don't show up. You have to go to YouTube Gaming and look at the fucking game you want to watch and then discover you that way. Like, that just doesn't seem like a decent way to grow.
Yeah, they've talked about that a little bit in the recent months and whatnot of how they're going to change how the UI and stuff like that works for their gaming platform. Mm-hmm. But they haven't really said what they're going to do. I do agree with you, though. They are going to have to do something because no new person is going to be able to grow their content.
Yeah, exactly. However, I stream on Facebook when my computer isn't a fucking asshole. The reason I'm streaming on Facebook, well, my backup was Mixer, but now that Mixer's totally fucking toast. I streamed on Facebook because you have a better chance of you growing. Because all you have to do is share your stream on your own page, and then you'll have friends going, oh, dude, I didn't know you streamed, and then they'll like your page and subscribe and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I think Facebook has a bit of a better system in terms of discoverability.
Yeah, well, Mixer's also now literally merging with Facebook.
Yeah.
But all the Mixer, like, contract people, like Ninja, Shroud, and a couple others that were exclusive to Mixer, mm-hmm. they have their own, you know, outs in their contract, so they can decide wherever they go.
Yeah, and I think that Facebook doesn't have a good basis for interacting with your viewers. I think that's where it struggles quite a bit. I could be wrong, though, maybe because I don't get a lot of viewers. I don't know. Bradley can probably correct me on this,
yeah.
But you got stars, so you can... I was talking to the streamer bros today when we were playing some Warzone this morning, but basically, people have to buy stars, so they'll spend $5 on 300 stars, and each star is like a penny. So
yeah.
Once they spend all those stars, the streamer will get $3, and the other $2 that they spent goes to Facebook. That's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's kind of different than Twitch, and I see, like, Facebook, for them to become relevant in this, they're gonna have to change up a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they want to land big names like Ninja or something like that moving forward, because Ninja is used to getting donations way above $3.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, a couple times that he gets a donation of like $5,000 just from a random fan. Like,
yeah.
How many fucking stars do you have to send?
Yeah. Who was I watching? I was watching Jay Witz when he was playing Let's Go Pikachu when I first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had 2,000 stars in the bank somehow. I didn't buy them. And I'm like, oh, Jay Witz, here you go. Have $20. Fuck.
There you go. 2,000 stars. So
yeah. And he's like, whoa, Rodney donated 2,000 stars. Ugh! He's fucking stoked.
$20. That's still money, right?
Yeah.
Bought him some dinner.
Pretty much. But anyways, yeah, so I think if you're going to start streaming anywhere, I would do Facebook, to be honest.
Yeah, I think YouTube does work for some people if you're already a content streamer and you have a name.
Yeah, if you... Because YouTube also relies on people sharing the stream, right? Yeah. So if you already have a pretty big base from your YouTube content, then sure. If somebody search it, like... They'll never find you this way, too. But if you're searching for a video like Warzone, if they just type in Warzone into the search...
You're going to find everything.
You're going to find everything. But it's going to pull up videos that have already been posted to YouTube. It's not going to show you anything live. Like, yeah. You know, the first two strips should be live content.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that'll help people grow.
Or it should at least have, like, a section where you can just decide what you want to see. You know, like... maybe once you search something, it'll give you two categories, live videos or previous content.
Yeah. So this week on Video Games Now podcast, we're coming up with a new streamer platform instead of a video game this week.
Ooh, I think there's already a couple of them trying to make their way out. I know this has now been confirmed. It's nothing, but there's a new streaming engine or something coming out called Brime. And a lot of people thought Dr. Disrespect might have been involved in that company. And that could have been the reason for his his ban. But Brime just came out 8 hours ago, and they have said Dr. Disrespect has nothing to do with them.
I mean, maybe he does. They're just trying to bail him out.
Yeah. Who knows? Brime, like, the rumor was that it was basically being founded. You know, it still had money behind it, but it was being done by Ninja, Shroud, and Dr. Disrespect. But I highly doubt that. I can't see Ninja wanting to start his own platform.
Yeah, again, I haven't heard his name in forever. Like,
he's still big, though. He's got a freaking clothing line with Adidas.
Yeah, and I see his shit every time I go to Walmart, and I'm like,
yeah,
fuck you, Ninja. Buy the Video Games Now shit, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, maybe if we start dyeing our hair.
Yeah, you know what? I absolutely love Dr. Disrespect's, starting before his actual stream starts. It'll be, like, him in the locker room, and he just has these little skits. Like, I fucking love that about him.
He's got these great things. I remember during E3 when he was there, he literally showed up in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And it, like, showed him walking out, and then the camera's following, like, he's the fucking VIP. And then, yeah, it's so good. He's got money and a lot of, you know, he's got a couple people there to help him edit every video.
He says he has 5 Lamborghinis.
Probably.
Well, that's what he said on stream once.
Yeah. Guy's got money, right? Like, look at Ninja.
Yeah.
What was it a couple years ago? How much does Ninja make, like, a month? Here, I want to look that up.
It was well over $1 million a month.
How much does Ninja make a month? Like, that's fucking ridiculous just to sit at home and play video games. So currently he's making $500,000 per month, but that's just off of
merch with sales, streaming. Probably. Oh, just his off streaming. Jeez.
Yeah. So his Adidas deal, and he's got his thing with Red Bull. It's Red Bull, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he, you know, he makes a decent amount, like $500,000 a month. Some people don't even make that in a year. I don't.
Yeah. Well, if we had, see, the biggest part about being a content creator is you gotta. Yeah, especially with YouTube, like, you gotta have time to fucking make the videos, and not only make the videos, you gotta do the prep for it, and then the research for it, and whatever, you know, whatever you're doing.
That's the thing, though. All these people have their own team.
Yeah, exactly.
They just, they never get mentioned, never get thanked. I hope they get paid well.
Yeah. Alright, so, going back to Mixer, I digged Mixer because you could just stream straight off your Xbox. I mean, it kind of made your performance shitty, but...
Yeah, but a lot of the things, like, even PlayStation now, you have that access to as well.
Mm-hmm.
when you go into settings, you can go link your PlayStation account straight to your Twitch. And you won't have your face on it, right? But you will literally start streaming straight to Twitch.
Yeah.
So it has become a lot easier for anyone to stream.
But there's a, you know, the it's the professional look of your stream, I think, is what sells it. Like, that, you know, they say, oh, don't worry about, you know, making your stream look perfect. Just, like, just start streaming. But at the same time, when you're looking at streams to watch, you're looking at something that looks flashy. You know what I mean?
I do, but I don't think that's just about it. I think it's also it could be your personality, but I wanted to think of a better word. I was thinking like
you're saying for sure.
What represents Dr. Disrespect? Like, he has the fake wig, the sunglasses, the bulletproof vest.
Yeah. He looks like Dr. Eggman, dude.
He kind of does. But, you know, without his gimmick, like, without that gimmick, he looks like a normal person.
Yeah, I like the I thought the mustache was fake, but it's real.
Oh, it's real, yep. He rocks that. It's the hair. Yeah, like, but that is his gimmick. I think what makes a popular streamer nowadays is their personality.
Character they
even
make.
Even if you're a great gamer, right? No one's going to watch you if you're boring.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about Dr. Disrespect, too, is he goes quiet sometimes, but, like, just watching him play the game is funny. Because, like, watched one of his streams and he killed a kid. He's like, first of all, and then he just breaks into, like, mocking him. He goes, first of all, I shot you, like, four times, and he just fucking, like, went into a whole tantrum. Oh, fuck, it was funny.
Dr. Disrespect has some of the best gamer rage I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I remember it might have been Fortnite when he was switching over from PUBG.
Yeah.
And he was always getting killed by fucking bush campers. And he would lose his shit. And then Modern Warfare. Oh, man, he had some good rage from that, too.
Oh, man, the best rage I saw from him was when he died to a Riot Shield guy. Fuck.
That was a good one.
So fucking good. He's like, you know, look at me. I'm a fucking top-tier streamer. I own 5 Lamborghinis. Fucking, you know, but then you got to put in this fucking asshole. The fucking Riot Shield. He's just, like, losing it. It's so fucking good.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what makes him who he is.
Yeah.
He disrespects everything, and he stands by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I'm done with Mr. Disrespect. I'm also done with Mixer. I don't really have anything much to say about that.
I do want to touch up on one thing. With the sexual assault accusations and stuff like that, and, you know, everyone just kind of coming up with their own rumors of why he might have been banned. As disrespectful as the guy is, I do remember, I don't know if you remember this, Rodney, but I think it was either last year or 2018. He literally took himself off stream and made an emotional video without his gear on. Like, he didn't have the wig, the glasses, or anything. Yep. It was just who he is. I hate saying his name, though. Herschel Beam, yep. the fourth.
Yeah.
But he apologized because he apparently cheated on his wife at a video game conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he said for now he is going to take the time to be with his family and make good on the mistakes that he has created.
Yeah, I don't remember that specific video, but yeah, I knew about it for sure.
Yeah, he was crying. He was very emotional. This is, you know, what he takes. Dr. Disrespect is his persona. Who he is in real life could be a completely different person.
Yeah.
And after watching that video, I can't see him doing anything stupid again. He loves his, he's got a daughter, I think. His wife's beautiful by, like, herself.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he hasn't done anything stupid, but
what if it's that chick coming back and getting revenge or something? I don't know.
The where we live now, you gotta be careful doing anything.
Yeah. The world we live in, man.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I'm going to be a grandpa, and they're going to be like, how did you meet your wife?
Too bad my wife wasn't into video games. Fuck.
She used to be.
Should have went on one of those gamer online dating sites.
I know, they're starting to become prominent now.
Yeah.
Might have to jump on one myself.
Maybe I could have found one what's her name on YouTube I said at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Can't remember her name now. All right, let's talk Halo Infinite. So they dropped a new trailer. Well, kind of.
Now, do we know if this is for Halo Infinite, though? That's the thing that, like, I've watched this over and over again, and it doesn't mention Halo Infinite at all. It's on the Halo channel.
It says Halo Infinite teaser trailer. So they haven't shown anything off since E3 last year. And so this trailer came out, and it's honestly like the biggest letdown ever. It's just a bunch of sound waves, and it's the Fallen from Halo Wars 2, I believe, talking and saying they're going to come back and kill humanity, yada, yada, yada.
It's the Banished.
The Banished, sorry, yeah, the Banished.
Yeah, because they were in 1, and I think they were mentioned in Halo Wars 2. I never played 2.
I just played it at PAX. I played the first one, too. Though.
Yeah. First one was good. I should have played the second.
Yeah, okay, so I asked the video games community what they thought of the teaser trailer. So Bradley starts off saying it was honestly disappointing. Again, Xbox needs to actually show something soon. We've seen multiple games from PlayStation with gameplay.
I'm going to say, yeah, PlayStation's been doing it smart, but I think Xbox saving everything for one event.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird time right now. Like, E3 forces everyone to fucking get their shit together and present something.
And this is making them have to come up with their own thing.
Yeah. So.
Also, what went wrong? Do you remember we watched the Xbox 2020 event in May?
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft promised there would be an event once a month. For the year.
Was that at the end of the month, though?
No, like, remember when the first one was supposed to be in May? We watched that.
Mm-hmm.
And then going forward, they said we were supposed to get an Xbox event once a month all the way till December.
Well, I'm hoping everyone fucking forgot about it, I guess. Except for
you. I'm on point of things.
Yeah. But,
like, we had nothing in June. Now in July, we're waiting for the actual Series X announcement event, which we don't even have a date for. All we know is July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, if Will was a goalie in terms of video game news, he'd get a fucking shutout every game.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss a puck.
All right, I'm just checking out our Twitter to see if anyone commented on that. I doubt it. No one ever fucking goes on Twitter. They only go on Twitter to see what Trump said the one time.
The Banish could be a good aspect, though, for Halo Infinite.
I can't even remember how Halo 5 ended, to be honest. Like, I only finished it the one time. I know you fight the same boss 3 times, and they just add an extra, like, you fight the Eternal.
Yeah. At the end, though, wasn't it a cinematic with Chief talking to Cortana?
I can't remember. I gotta play Halo 5 again, the campaign, hate every second of it.
We should do that the day before Infinite comes out, if we do get it.
Yeah.
I think everything's gonna, for at least me, and I've talked about this many times, it's gonna be priced this year that'll decide what console I get.
Oh yeah.
As much as I want to say games, like and I'm going a little off topic here, but the rumors are that were leaked by Amazon UK is that the PlayStation 5 is going to be £399 or £499 UK pounds. When I converted that, and other sites did as well, that's $700 US.
There's no fucking way that they could launch a console for... That was PlayStation 5?
Yeah, but they did that with the 3, don't you remember? PlayStation 3 was $699.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Like,
coming out of a fucking recession, too, like, you're gonna put your fucking console at $700? Are you ridiculously dumb?
That's what I mean, like, this generation, at least at the beginning, is going to be affordability for me.
Yeah.
As much as I love PlayStation, and I do love Xbox, but Xbox is kind of losing its momentum with me, mainly on its games.
Yeah, like, we don't really have anything. We don't know what's coming out for the Series X, really.
No. So when this event happens, who knows? I might change my whole judgment on Xbox and be like, okay, I'm getting both.
Yeah.
Or I'm going Xbox. Like, it's still undecided for me. But moving forward, the Halo Infinite, it's a huge title.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And it's just not enough to make me buy an Xbox.
Okay, well, here's one great thing I found out. I opened up the official Halo Infinite page, and the first thing I read is Halo Infinite for Xbox One and Windows 10.
Okay.
So, but
they always screw up here, and I have a feeling we're going to get the release for Xbox this year and Windows 10 next spring or summer.
I'll wait. I don't give a fuck. I'm not buying an X. Like, as it stands right now, I'm not buying a Series X. So,
yeah, for you, it's games as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, anything right now that you can get on an Xbox, you can usually get on a PlayStation.
Yeah, and
that's hurting their credibility more than anything.
And the other thing, too, is, like, I don't play Gears. That's, like, the only other real game that I would play off Xbox. The only other IP that I play is Sea of Thieves, which I can get on PC. So, like, I have a PC. I don't need an Xbox.
Yeah, I think this year, I really hope they come out and show us things that we want. Not what they think we need, but what we want.
Yeah.
Like, they, what was it, those 7 brand new studios, 4 of them that they bought and 3 they made. We haven't seen anything from those studios.
Mm-hmm.
What are they working on that are going to be just exclusive titles? Like, that is what's going to decide the generation for Xbox.
I think what would save Xbox is if they announced the next Fable.
Yeah, Fable would be a huge thing. We know it's in development. I just don't know if they're going to screw us and be like, give us a quick, 1 second teaser that'll show like a city or something with a bird flying over like they usually do with freaking Fable kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it'll just doesn't have a release date. And then everyone's going to buy an Xbox and the next Fable game won't come out till 2023. I need a release date.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be the month. Just give me like 2021, 2022. Let me know what year you think this game's going to be fucking ready.
Yeah, actually ready. Not fucking beta ready.
Everything is getting delayed these days. Like, I'm getting tired of getting excited for a game and then it's like, it's another delay. Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was supposed to be out in April. Then it got delayed till September, and now it got delayed till indefinitely, isn't it?
I think what happened there is Microsoft is pushing them to make it for the Series X. I think that's what happened because.
But it's also coming out on PlayStation, so if Microsoft's doing that, that means Sony is as well.
Yeah. So that's the only reason, like. Remember Breath of the Wild got pushed and we're like, they're obviously pushing it to the new console. Like there's no other reason why it would get fucking delayed.
They did the same thing. Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, Twilight Princess was supposed to come out a little earlier and then the Wii was announced and we knew at that point it was going to be ported over to the Wii and GameCube.
Yeah. Going back to our Discord, Speed Geek, referring to the Halo Infinite trailer, says Xbox better do something soon. Buying development studios and streaming service is not going to work well for them unless they start getting some hype behind the new system, which is lackluster in the aesthetics department. Well, I mean, so is the PlayStation 5, honestly, but yeah.
They do have the studios. They do not have the streaming service anymore.
Yeah.
A little behind on that one.
Yeah. they have streaming. They have development studios. I don't know. Well, each studio is, good at making one or two different types of games.
That's what I'm hoping. Like, we have 7 studios, and these are big, big studios. These aren't independent. These are ones that are going to be working on either, like, a franchise or a brand new IP.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to amalgamate studios based on games that they develop. You know?
Yeah.
Because they kind of did that already. They bought 5 studios and then made a new studio name. I can't remember what it's called.
They made 2 new studios.
Frostbite or something.
5.
Yeah. So, all right, well, I just want to see what Halo Infinite has to offer, because we've been waiting for this game for, like, a literal eternity.
Well, we've known, like, when was it first announced?
Oh, going back in the podcast here, Christ, we talked about it, like, in the same year we launched the podcast, and we've been doing the podcast for 2.5 years.
And that was when
it
was announced, so 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was announced in 2018.
When did 5 come out? I'm just going to look that up right now.
Oh, God, 5. What a fucking shit show.
Disappointment that was. Jesus. All right. I was thinking 16. It's 2015. October 27th, 2015. So it's been 6 years. 5 years since the release of this. And Halo 1 came out in 2001. Halo 2 came out in 2004, I want to say. Or 3 or 4. I think it was 4. Yeah. Let's have a look. Halo 2. Halo 2 came out. I'm just trying to see the
years between each game.
Yeah, 2004 for Halo 2. Halo 3 came out in 2007. But they're using the same engine, right? So mm-hmm. this game, they built a brand new engine for Halo Infinite. So the Slipspace engine. So and then Halo Reach came out in 2010. So that basically 3 years between games. And then
Halo
4
was 2012 or
2012, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a new studio at that point. Okay, so yeah, basically 3 years between games, and then 2015 Halo 5 came out, and now we're five years.
So they needed this though.
Yeah.
They had to do this game from the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and if you have a game like we were talking about, I think on the last podcast, Nintendo has 5 year development periods. So the fact that you had a 5 year development period on Halo 6 might make it a good game compared to fucking 5. Like, I mean, I could shit a better game than Halo 5, but you know.
Yeah, some studios can do it. Like, look at Assassin's Creed. Sometimes they can roll out a good game in a year.
Well, with Halo,
Odyssey was amazing.
With Assassin's Creed, though, they built a brand new game. Engine for not engine, but basically a game for Origins. So then for Odyssey, they just took that system, tweaked it a bit, improved it, and just made a new map, right? So it was essentially, I'm not going to say it was the same game because it wasn't, but it was.
The map was huge though. Like,
yeah.
It had water combat where Origins really didn't.
Yeah, like I said, they improved upon Origins. But the base, like the foundation of the game, is the same. Like the RPG elements, the upgrading your ability tree or whatever the fuck. The combat was very similar. But yeah, so they had a base game, so they were able to pump out. That came out like a year after Origins, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And then they decided after Odyssey they were going to take a year off.
Yeah.
Because I think they're building this one now up for the new engine.
Yeah. So I'm sure they had both of those games actually planned out when they were building Origins.
Well, they're usually working on one game while the other one's still being developed.
Yeah.
So they're at the beginning phase, right? So
and I'm just thinking about the map, too. Like, I'm sure they reused quite a bit of assets from Origins in terms of map
stuff. Oh, I'm sure they did, yeah.
So, yeah, but... yeah, great game.
Halo is just completely different than that, though, because you can't reuse anything from the last Halo.
Yeah, everything is being rebuilt. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so it needs that couple-year period, and I'm hoping with 5 years that they actually deliver us a game that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, a multiplayer that I'll play for longer than a fucking couple weeks.
Yeah, have they talked about it? I can't remember. Are they bringing back Couch? They were thinking about it.
Let me have a look here. I'm just going to read what's on the website here. Master Chief returns in Halo Infinite, the next chapter of the legendary franchise beginning holiday 2020, developed by 343 for the entire Xbox family of devices, including the Scarlet and Windows PC. Continues the Halo 5 Guardians storyline. And takes a franchise in an ambitious and unexpected direction, powered by the all-new Slipspace engine.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah. we'll see what happens. We still don't know a lot about Halo Infinite.
Yeah, which they should clear up next month sometime.
Yeah, I don't want another trailer. I want information. I do want a trailer.
Yeah.
But I want a trailer that's telling me where this story's taking us, and then bring someone on stage or even on webcam or something and be like, this is what we're doing with Halo. You're going to be able to do this. It's going to have this. I want the information.
Well, on top of that, with the trailer, I want a fucking in-game engine trailer. I don't want a fucking cinematic trailer.
Oh, okay, so you want some gameplay.
No, I don't want gameplay. I just want, like, even if it's cinematics from the game, I want to see what it looks like in the game engine.
You just don't want to see something they built just for the event.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Because, like, looking at these images, like, it looks great.
It does. But I remember when it was announced, like, I was kind of torn. The trailer was very weird.
I'm just going to pull the trailer up here. Oh, I have to enter my date of birth.
Oh. While you're doing that, though, I do want to... I was going over the five of those new studios that were developed that could be creating games. So we had the Initiative, like you said. They're an entirely new Santa Monica, California-based studio, being headed by Daryl Gallagher, who was the former studio head of Crystal Dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
So he helped create Tomb Raider. So that's that's a huge name right there. Mm-hmm. Then you have Undead Labs, a Seattle-based team that were behind State of Decay and State of Decay 2. They officially joined Microsoft's fold, and they're apparently working on something next-gen. We've known about Playground Games for a while. They're the team behind Forza. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're working on a new IP that's an open-world experience, which is also supposed to be rumored the new Fable.
Yep.
Ninja Theory was a weird accusation from Microsoft because Ninja Theory is behind Devil May Cry, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, and the PS3 exclusive Heavenly Sword. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're good at RPGs and that kind of Japanese style games.
Yeah.
And then we have Compulsion Games, which are brand new. They're a Canadian developer that are behind We the Happy Few. And apparently they're working on something for the next console as well. So.
All right. And to answer your question from before, Halo Infinite will have split-screen multiplayer, and it'll also be available on the Xbox Game Pass from day one.
See, there you go. That is the split-screen multiplayer right there gives me more incentive to buy it.
Yeah.
Because that is what made Halo fun.
People did want it before because... Sorry, when I say that, I mean, like, they thought people didn't want it because it slowed down your frame rate, yada, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But, like you said, we all grew up playing Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3 split screen, right? So, yeah.
I used to have LAN parties. Heck, my church even did it. We hooked up, like, four Xboxes together and had, like, an 18-person LAN party.
I think they had a LAN party at PAX when they had the Reach... tournament. Dude, I'm still a little salty about that. It was a free-for-all, and it's a 25, right? I had 20 fucking 4 kills. I was in the lead, and the next guy below me, I think, had 22 kills, and he got a triple kill and fucking won the game. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, buddy.
And only the winners moved on to the next round.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Halo Infinite needs some more information. I'm sure we'll do another podcast on it once we actually get information, hopefully next month. You had one more thing to talk about on the podcast today, didn't you?
I'm trying to remember. I think that was all.
Jeez. We're 45 minutes in, so let's talk
about... We can talk about a few other things, though. I do have one more thing. Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Haha.
Okay, so I think we did this podcast on the day I got married.
Did we do it that day? I know I showed you guys the video. I think it was on. No, that was your wedding, the pre-dinner or something.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we did that. We talked about this is fucking. How long have we been married? 2 years? Fucking Christ. Yeah, so we talked about the Super Mario Party, because we played that. You literally came over the night before, and we just played Super Mario Party, like, until midnight, and then slept in, did a podcast, played some more Super Mario Party with the other groomsmen, and then went and got married. Oh, yeah. That's funny. But yeah, so we talked about that, and then we talked about this game. But anyway, so some dude completely obliterated his NDA and recorded the trailer for... Who's developing it? Warner Brothers?
Yeah, it's coming from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, so recorded this trailer that Warner Brothers showed them, showing a open-world Harry Potter game. And it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, the rumors back then were that it was taking place during the Goblin Wars.
Yeah.
Now, another leak has come out saying that it might be taking place. I don't know if it's... I can't remember. It was a video someone posted with some new screenshots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's going to be taking place after the Harry Potter story. And there's also endgame content, apparently, is what has been leaked, which I'm kind of excited for. So you're not going to start as a new student. Apparently you're a
fifth year or something.
A fifth year, yeah. But from another school that is like being transferred in. So you're a transfer student or something.
Okay, I can dig that.
And you're going to have to help me here, because my Harry Potter lore is going down a bit. But after he graduates, there's still another year of gameplay you can play with him as like one of those wizards that help...
An orc?
Yes, there you go. Thank you. See, I can mention one little fucking thing, and Rodney's like, an orc? Yeah, there you go. You might have to explain what that is to everyone, but
it's just a person who works for the ministry that catches basically he's a
rogue
fucking
wizard, right?
A policeman.
Yeah,
yeah.
So apparently that is how the last bit of the game is supposed to happen, which kind of sounds like this could be very interesting and intriguing for a Harry Potter story. And apparently they're not going to be calling it Harry Potter anymore. It's something like I can't remember the name. It's taking place in the universe, but I think they're going to call it Hogwarts or...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I remember the name was kind of teased.
So we were talking about this 2 years ago when we talked about this, but I think it would be really cool if you could basically it's an RPG, right? So you can develop what kind of wizard you're going to be.
I think they were talking that in the leak that you could kind of pick. That's in how the end game plays out. I think you could either be, go to the dark side, and then there's supposed to be another big bad.
Like, what if you could do like a Fable level of fucking character development, where like you could be evil if you want, right? And then your persona starts to turn dark.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
I kind of hope this game also has choices you make that'll determine the outcome of the other parts.
Yeah.
Like, so apparently at the beginning, a choice you make determines what school you get put in, or like class.
Yeah.
So you could even be put into Slytherin or, you know, the house.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have any idea what the fucking Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff common rooms would look like.
No, but, you know... I bet you they could work with J.K. Rowling and probably have been, and just figure out what she thinks in her head, what she would have designed them as.
Yeah. Anyways, Harry Potter nerdiness, but that game excites me. I'm having deja vu, dude. Like, we're talking about the exact same things that we talked about 2 years ago when this came up, because I was going to mention. I think the last Harry Potter game I played was on Wii. It was the sixth one, I think. The sixth movie. What was it called? Half-Blood Prince?
Yeah.
And your Wiimote was your wand, and I thought that was the fucking coolest thing ever. And, like, to defend...
I do remember that.
You had to, like, hold it on its side to block spells. I'm like, this is fucking badass, dude. Like, whoever thought of this fucking had it put together.
I remember playing the very first Harry Potter on PC.
PC? I remember playing on fucking Game Boy.
It was very clunky.
Yeah, I remember playing it on Game Boy Color, I think. And then I played the second one on Game Boy Advance SP.
Okay, well, I think it looked a bit better on PC than it would on Game Boy, but...
Oh, yeah, it was very, oh, very 8-bit.
Never mind. It's sitting right beside me in my PC games. Yeah, PC.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about Harry Potter, but I totally fucking spaced on it. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. So I'm excited for this game. I just want something a bit different than just fucking roaming the castle and collecting fucking stupid shit and bringing someone dumb fucking... Oh, I hate that. I hate fetch quests so much.
I think they're smarter as well by getting rid of the Harry Potter name.
Yeah, because it's not about Harry Potter. It's about you.
Yeah. It would be cool, though, if he's mentioned... Like, there's no way he's not going to be mentioned, especially if the story does take place after him.
Yeah.
There's got to be pictures or, you know, some lore for him.
It'd be a good way to expand upon the universe, for sure.
Exactly. And then you could, who knows, maybe you can interact with kids or descendants, family members of, you know. Yeah.
As long as Emma Watson's in it, then I'm sold. But anyways, I remember what I was going to say earlier. So, at the end of the books or whatever, Harry becomes an Auror.
Yep.
But in the fifth book, they're talking about all the classes he needed to do in order to become an Auror.
Yeah.
But he didn't do any of those. He just got in. And I'm like, fuck, you're just walking around like, dude, I defeated the fucking Dark Lord of fucking magic. I'm an Auror now. Like,
that's basically what it was, right? Yeah. Like, you couldn't say no to him after that. He saved the world.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, the Ministry would be a laughing stock. Be like, you turn down Harry Potter because he doesn't have the classes. Are you high?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Plus, I don't think he needs the classes. He's stronger than and smarter than most of the ministers.
Well, he didn't even fucking do his last year of Hogwarts.
No. he basically couldn't, though. If he was at Hogwarts, what do you think would have happened?
Yeah, some shit. Shit would have went down. Fucking Chamber of Secrets would have opened again or some shit.
Yeah, he was literally hunted that whole year that he wasn't at the school.
He was hunted every fucking year he was at school. Let's be fucking real.
That's true.
So, Hermione went back and finished her final year, though. We're just talking about Harry Potter now on a fucking Video Games Now podcast. What the fuck's wrong with us?
It's fine, though. Like, you know, this game could be the next part of, like, that story.
Yeah, there's a website called Pottermore where you can, like, I haven't logged on in, like, fucking 10 years.
Is that RPG thing where you basically...
Kind of. It's like an interactive, like, website where you can learn more about the Harry Potter universe. Like, if I was an extra super nerd of Harry Potter, I'd be balls deep in that. But I think what turned me off from it is, like, it gave out information in increments. So, like, you couldn't just go on and just binge all the information. Like, once a week, they would release, like, a new thing. And I'm like, fuck that. So, yeah, I stopped paying attention to that. But, yeah. All right, well, that's about it, I guess, for the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully it says the Harry Potter RPG will launch late next year with an official announcement planned for the DC fandom event on August 22nd.
I wonder if, now that I think about it, if that thing that we saw, that trailer we saw 2 years ago, was the vertical slice for the game.
I think it might have been.
Interesting.
It looked good, but I bet you... That was all way before pre-alpha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was literally created just to get the funds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Okay. So, as always, guys, thanks for listening to the show. If you want to become a Patreon, you get exclusive content. Every podcast, we record extra content for our Patreon, so jump on there to check that out. And you can check out our website, videogamesnow.ca, to find all the rest of our content, videos, etc. Or you can go to YouTube and subscribe there. That'd be super handy. Let us know what you guys think on our social media pages. We got Discord, lots of chatter on there all the time. Let's just look at some of this stuff right now. Video game chat. I think emotional support, man, is like the glue that holds our fucking Discord together. Because he'll just come on and say like one thing, and then
break everyone.
And then break everyone. We're like, okay. But anyway, so Itchy Goat Bag just joined.
Interesting name.
Very, very choice name words. Yeah, totally. Anyways, so yeah, we lots of chatter on our Video Games Now Discord, and you can find that link on our website. Okay, guys, thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.